I think most people, and I hate to say this, but it's true nowadays in today's world, think of law and think of TV shows. I mean, it actually started back when I was a kid with Perry Mason, but everything else like that. Our guest today is Tom Morrison. Tom has written a book, Torts Are Us, A Legal Farce. Tom, first of all, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Marshall. Happy to participate.
What's interesting about this is it opens up a rather humorous side of law. All of us have heard of tort law. There's even a tort law museum in Winsted, Connecticut that Ralph Nader put together. But I think what you've done by writing this book is not only write something that's entertaining and funny, but also I think it is instructional.
Well, I think so. Let me say in the first instance, I wrote this book as an exercise in humor. My main objective was to get people to lighten up and laugh. I spent my career as a lawyer, but I always thought lawyers take themselves way too seriously. And this book was a way to sort of skewer my former profession and sort of bring it down to earth. There is sort of a serious message to the book, and that's the abuse of the class action system. Two-thirds of the book are devoted to a series of class action cases brought by the protagonists. So there is a bit of a serious message there, but it's all done in a humorous vein. And by the way, the Tort Museum reached out to me, and I did a podcast with them. They loved the book, and if they ever reopen, they'll be having my book on display. But we had a very nice chat about torts, and who knew Ralph Nader and I could get along.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about books and about writing and writing about a subject like that. Information is information, humor is humor, and humans are humans. And you don't have to agree with everybody 100% of the time. But, of course, I would think that both of you would get along in a case like this. It's interesting because the first thing that jumps out at me is a quote, and that's the quote that you've included. The first thing we do, let's pay all the lawyers, by William Shakespeare.
I'm glad you like that. Yeah, that's one of my favorite little quotes. I'm glad you like that.
Now, as a lawyer, I see in the biography, you've been described as the dean of false advertising litigation. What got you into going after stuff like that?
Well, I was a general commercial litigator. I was with a series of three law firms during my 46-year private practice career. 34 of them were with Patterson, Belknap, Webb & Tyler in New York. And when I was at Patterson, we had clients who were complaining about their competitors' advertising. And up until that point, companies had not gone into federal court to file lawsuits. They instead would report the matter to the FTC. The FTC would spend 10 years investigating and then maybe or maybe not do something. We found an obscure provision of the Lanham Act, which is the act that really governs trademarks, which actually applies to false statements in interstate commerce. And so we brought a series of cases in the mid-70s on behalf of our clients, challenging their competitors' advertising. And once big companies realized that you could use the Lanham Act to go after your competitors' advertising, it became a very popular form of litigation. And we were getting calls from clients all around the country wanting us to bring these cases. And a lot of the cases that I personally tried and or appealed became landmarks in the field. It was really fairly exciting.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about what you developed and the important lawsuits and the importance of keeping businesses and industry honest. But on the other side, there is also what goes on in this country and probably other countries, but I think a lot more in this country, are the absurd lawsuits, the crazy lawsuits that are just really meant to wear down and antagonize and not necessarily deal with the problem.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and class actions are just a perfect example of that. Class actions have a real place in litigation. Think of airplane crashes or the 9/11 bombings or the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. Those are real cases involving real people that suffered real injuries, and class actions are well suited to deal with those kinds of cases. But what we're seeing more recently, and what I saw in my waning years of practice, were really kind of silly cases where class action attorneys would reach out to individual consumers who would find something to complain about. A very popular sort of complaint would involve food products, cereals, for example, and there were all kinds of cases brought alleging that cereal that touted itself as having natural ingredients, that not every ingredient was natural or not every ingredient was fresh. And there were just tons of those kinds of cases, and those cases don't really benefit anyone except the lawyers. Even if there's a settlement, which there usually is, the members of the class generally get a couple dollars and some consumer coupons, and the bulk of the money goes to the lawyers. And so the last two-thirds of the book really explores that issue through a series of three hilarious cases involving hilarious claims by hilarious clients in front of hilarious judges.
It's you know, well, the first one that comes to my mind is not that old. I think it's about 3 years old, is when somebody bought a class action suit against Subway because they bought a Subway sandwich and the foot long was 11 and a half inches.
Well, there you go. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And, you know, what's the real injury there? Somebody spent 75 cents more than they would have had they known it was only 11 inches. It's just crazy. But these cases clog up the federal courts. You watch TV any night and you'll see ads by personal injury firms claiming that if you've had any kind of an injury or used any particular product, call them immediately because you could be part of a class action. I think those kinds of cases are a disservice to our legal system.
We are speaking with Tom Morrison and the book that he has written, Torts Are Us, A Legal Farce. We're kind of talking about not only the book, but also the system of lawsuits in general. Well, when you sit back now, and did you ever envision yourself writing something like that? Have you always, I mean, obviously, being a lawyer, you're used to writing and you're used to, I mean, but did you ever think you would go to this form of writing?
The answer is probably yes. I did do a lot of writing. In addition to trying cases and arguing appeals, you're always writing briefs in all those cases. So I did do a lot of writing. In the back of my mind, I think I always wanted to write a novel. I'm an avid reader of various kinds of novels. What I never had figured out was an appropriate subject to write a novel about. When I was in the Air Force, I actually wrote a, quote, spy novel. But, you know, what did I know about spy novels other than what I read in other writers' spy novels? So when I was getting close to retirement, I started thinking, you know, what do I know about? Well, I know about lawsuits and court cases. And then I started reading in the newspaper about some ludicrous class action cases, and it all sort of came together. Let's write a humorous book about the abuse of the legal system by frivolous cases, but let's do it not as a polemic, but as a satire, as a farce. And that's what I hope I accomplished.
I think what this book will also accomplish with people is, years ago, when I was growing up, there was a class of lawyers called ambulance chasers. and really, what we're talking about now, when you look at these advertisements that go on TV, is just an upgraded version of that.
You're absolutely right, Marshall. There's really no difference. The big difference is in the old days, those were individual cases brought by an individual. Now we're talking about a class action case. And that's why these cases always end up being settled. Companies can't afford the time and cost of litigating a class action that's going to go on for years, so they invariably settle them. And as I said before, the individual plaintiffs get very little. Most of the money goes to the lawyers. It's just ambulance chasing on a far different scale.
Oh, but I think what you bring to into focus here is what we all, if you've ever been, if anybody, even though there's a new courtroom, but if anybody was ever in Litchfield Court for any reason, most of the work was done not in the courtroom, but in the hallways and in the side rooms. There's and court cases like you're talking about, the class action cases, really do bottle up a system that is at capacity anyways.
Yes, no, I mean that's absolutely right. The data on the number of lawsuits filed in both state and federal courts is just overwhelming. Judges have hundreds, if not thousands, of cases they're responsible for, and I would much rather see them dealing with the real cases instead of some of these ludicrous make-believe cases.
We're speaking once again right now with Tom Morris, and the book is Torts Are Us. It is available locally, I know, at Oblong Books and Music and other local stores, and it will be, it's also available at Amazon. And what I've done is I've put a link to the various locations on this. When you go to robinhoodradio.com, click on demand and listen to the interview, you'll be able to click on a couple of different links to take you wherever you want to find out more about the book or to even purchase the book. So I have to ask you this question, because you're in a very, very tough position as a lawyer, a former lawyer, and now an author. Have you gotten any blowback from the law system, or has it been positive?
It's all been positive. There are roughly 50-plus reviews that have been posted on Amazon, and probably 80% of them are from lawyers, most of them lawyers who knew me when I was practicing, and they all loved it, even lawyers with a couple of the companies that I skewered in the book. They just really enjoyed it, and the comment that I was most appreciative of was someone who said, yeah, Morrison skewers companies and clients and individuals, but he's never condescending to them, and he obviously has an affection for the people in the book. And I think that's kind of true. That's the spirit in which I wrote it. So far, so good. I mean, even the Tort Museum seemed to like it, so I think I'm okay in that regard.
Well, you know what I hope? I hope that once this pandemic is all over with, and next August, when the Sharon and the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon has their book signing, they put you on their list. You're a local guy. You live locally. And this book obviously has not only local but national interest. It'd be great to see you at that book signing event in Sharon, hopefully if it comes back next year.
Well, thank you, Marshall. I'd love to do that.
Well, you know, and how long have you lived up here now, Tom?
Well, we've lived here full-time since I retired in 2015. It's interesting, you mentioned the Litchfield County Courthouse. Yeah. That's why we're up here. 30 years ago, when I was in private practice, I had a case involving a probate dispute, and the subject of the probate dispute was a small clothing manufacturer in Bantam, Connecticut. And that litigation spawned lawsuits all over the East Coast. I was in courts in Nassau County in Brooklyn, and up here in Connecticut State and Federal Court. But the culmination was a trial in that beautiful old courthouse in the heart of Litchfield. And coming up there and trying the case in that courthouse and seeing how beautiful this area was, that's why I wound up here.
Well, I think it's great. We're glad that you're up here, but also it shows you, in our area, we have just a wealth of people and who write books, who do art. We really are located in a very special area with a lot of very, very special people. And I'm glad you reached out to me on this, Tom, because I think the book is going to be fun for people to read and informative. Torts are us. And good luck in your writing career. Do you have another book on the agenda?
Well, there's room for a sequel. I have a lot of material that I didn't put into the first book, and frankly, I'm waiting to see how this book does. If it does reasonably well, I think there may well be a sequel.
Well, it's nice to speak to you, Tom, and good luck and have a happy holiday season.
Well, thank you, Marshall. I appreciate your having me on, and happy holidays to you.